This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at World Sweeper. Today I'm speaking with Ryan Bertholdi, the president of Moonlight Sweeping LLC. They are located in the Kansas City area. They are the World Sweeper December 2012 featured contractor. Welcome, Ryan.
Thank you.
Ryan, I chose Moonlight Sweeping. You have a nice website. I like some of the ways that you operate your business. We've talked prior to the recording. I think the readership will really enjoy how you run your business, and so look forward to bringing some of that out. Why don't you start with how you got into the business and how you operate it? I know you have a partner, and tell me, if you would, about Moonlight Sweeping.
Sure. Thank you for bringing up the website. I probably have over 100 hours into that, and I built it myself and worked really hard on it. A great thing that I like about it, and we can get into that a little later, is the videos that I put on there to show our customers some of the projects that we have done in the past or that we are doing at the time. Right now, going far back is how I started out in the sweeping industry. It was something that, obviously, college days or anything like that, is not something that I thought that this is what I was going to do. My mom actually is an accountant, and she was looking for someone to come in and help her out at a large company called Brothers Company, which Mike Jones owns, and he's a great guy, and I learned a lot from him. He was kind of a good teacher. He kind of threw me in there and needed some help in the sweeping industry on his routes. He was having some problems with some employees getting the routes done. So I went in there and I did that and brought us back to a good standard and left him a couple years later, and I learned a lot in the snow removal business at the same time. And whenever I did, it was about 2001, and I've been in the sweeping industry on my own since about 2001. That's basically it. Just took off from there, got one sweeper and started out with that, and just grew the business as much as I could and started getting employees and other sweepers and just kept going.
You now handle not only sweeping, but you do day portering, of course, as a part of that, but do power washing as well.
Grown into some power washing, day porter service. And now on our day porter service, we started offering that because there is some competition out there that just does day porter service. And we realized with some of the customers asking us, okay, we want some sweeping, but can you do some day porter service? Can you come out during the day and clean up some of these areas that are high traffic and need to be taken care of? And so we've done that, and that's actually been a good thing for us because it's more to offer. Now, with the community improvement districts that we do a lot of day porter service during those. And the reason why is because they are got a lot of retail and some industrial at the same time, stuck in the same areas together. So they have a lot of trash and a lot of accumulation of leaves and cigarette butts. Their trash cans can overflow during the middle of the day. So we go out there all day long and we take care of that. And then at nighttime or around 5 o'clock in the morning, before anything, the industrial opens or the retail shops open, we come in there and clean up the curbs, the sidewalks, and do the parking lot areas. So that really has worked out a lot. Not only that, we power wash their gum and some problem areas like that that attracts gum and dirt and all that stuff. On the backside of the buildings, we get graffiti. So we actually do some graffiti removal, too.
And, of course, the sooner that all of those things that you just talked about are removed, the less attraction there is to have more.
There's a lot less.
I know one of the things about the graffiti situation, in fact, is when tagging happens, a lot of times the taggers, because they're so proud of it, will tell other taggers, hey, here's where I tagged. And if they come over and look, and it's already been removed, there's no incentive for them to tag the building because, you know, then they know that their work product will be removed right away as well. And the same thing with gum, for example. If people don't see gum on the sidewalk, they're a lot less likely than if there's gum chunks strewn everywhere.
I tell you, our very first CID that we did, they only had a day porter service. And that day porter service would be out there just handpicking cigarette butts, not taking care of the crack and the potholes and some of the dirt areas that needed to be cleaned up. And now that's getting taken care of. As far as the tagging and graffiti, out at the CID that we started 3 years ago, there was a lot of tagging, and now we haven't seen any for over a year. So if that tells you that it doesn't help out cleaning it, then I don't know what will.
Well, and that's something that, and again, I'm thinking of other contractors that would be listening to this, as well as any kind of retail personnel. One of the things you're talking about that follows along with that is that then the cost of graffiti removal goes down, you know, substantially. So by having somebody on it right away, then you're actually reducing your overall cost astronomically.
Sure. On the brick buildings, we can put a preventative coating on there that allows us to just come by and power wash it, and it comes right off. So that makes it a lot better.
That's a very good point. And in terms of competing with other companies that just provide day portering service and are not providing sweeping, you're, of course, able to be very competitive with them, in fact, have a sizable advantage because you're able to sweep on occasion if that's what they want and get the small particles up that rub off striping and seal coating and get tracked inside the building. So I would think that gives you a competitive advantage in that regard.
Yes, it definitely does. It's whenever we come in and there's a company, a management company that just asks for day porter service, and they're comparing apples to apples with that, and then we offer them, listen, we can come in with an industrial sweeper and get the abrasive materials out that's not getting picked up. And those abrasive materials not only takes up the asphalt and makes it, you know, with your tires, like, grinding sandpaper on it. But, like you said, it leaves the striping a lot longer. And the inside of the shops, you know, the retail stores are cleaner because of those abrasive materials that are getting picked up.
Right. So you can have more people coming in because they're happier to shop there and at the same time have less tracksters. So, yeah, that makes a big difference. What else should we talk about with your company? Go ahead and take the lead in talking about how you operate your business and what has seemed to work for you.
What has really seemed to work for me, I've tried out a bunch of different sweepers out there. There's no complete wrongs and no complete rights. What worked for us in the sweeping industry for street sweepers is we like to use the hydraulic-driven sweepers. And the reason why is they're a lot less maintenance, a lot less, I think, wear and tear on the equipment. Not only that, the fuel cost, it just drops in half, I believe. Our fuel cost, when we're using a dual-engine sweeper, and you have a Kubota engine for just the sweeping, and then you got the diesel up front, I think we're close to $4,000 a month in gasoline. And now we've dropped down to about $1,900 to $2,100 a month. On a bad month, we're around $3. On a bad month with a dual-engine sweeper, we're around $5. So that right there can explain to you how we dropped our cost on equipment. As far as things breaking, I mean, on a hydraulic-driven sweeper, you only got some hydraulic tubes to replace. You've only got some belts to replace, and then, you know, your normal wear and tear on your shoes and your rubber for your heads, and the brushes are almost just as big as some of the other ones out there, and they work great. As far as that, that's pretty much where our major cost we dropped from using dual sweepers to all hydraulic driven.
And is there a brand that you particularly prefer?
Yes, Nighthawk Sweepers is our brand that we prefer. I definitely recommend Nighthawk. I like their units. For good price for their units, they're built very nicely. Now, there's another brand out there that I've seen that's not built as nice as Nighthawk. That's why we stick with Nighthawk. Now, we do have a tenant sweeper. We have a tenant green machine. It's a great sweeper for when we do the art shows. We do some event cleanup for the art shows at Brookside, which is pretty large. And then we do a couple, like the Fall Festival in Waldo and the CIDs. Part of the green machine is when we use that for event cleanups, it really can fit in tight spaces. It's not too loud, and it picks up basically anything that we need that's in its path. And when we use that, we also use it on our CIDs, just because it's everything is so congested in the area that it mulches everything that comes through it, from cigarette butts to glass bottles to 2-liter bottles, down to tennis balls or golf ball or battery. It basically will clean up all of that and make it more recyclable for the earth. And it's really a great product to use.
So that provides you with a lot more flexibility than a regular sweeper would, and certainly a lot more versatility than hand picking as a day porter, because you're able to be really to work that in while there are people around. Correct?
Oh, yeah, we can work that on the sidewalk while people are around. It has a disinfectant sprayer that's on there that we can spray on the, like, spills, or if someone gets sick or anything like that on the sidewalk, we can spray that disinfectant, and the brush grinds it out, and it sucks it all right up. Not only that, on the running trails, we use it, and we can walk it in the grass, too. They like it to clean up some of the leaves and some of the areas that get stuck. And it'll just clean that right up. We also have a tube that's on the side of it that the operator can grab it anytime. He doesn't have to turn it off and put a plate in a certain area or anything like that to turn on that suction hose. It's always working. And he can grab it and get in between the bushes and the flowers, some of the thorn bushes that grab a lot of things, and it'll just suck it right up.
You know, I've always wondered why the U.S. sweeping community hasn't embraced green machine-type products with a wider range, because it seems so obvious that for those types of events it makes a huge difference. When I've traveled in Europe and seen how they sweep over there, the green machine-type concept is absolutely everywhere in U.K., in Amsterdam, in Denmark, and the list goes on and on. And but they don't have as much wide-open space as we do in the United States. And so one of the things that happens is they're sweeping in and around people, pedestrian malls, and a lot of times they just switch back and forth from the hose to the sweeper to the hose to the sweeper. So those machines are set up very well to be able to handle that kind of operation, and I think that kind of versatility in your company is a great way to go, rather than just strictly parking lot sweeping. So I commend you on that. It provides an extra resource to your customers that a lot of people are just not going to have.
Yes, it does. The green machine, I like it because it's a little smaller than some of the others. Now, I have seen Madback has one that's like it, and it works. Does a pretty great job. Now, I know that also the Green Machine and Madvac both have a drivable one with a closed-in cab with a glass bottom where you can basically see a lot of what you're doing. And that's for a little bigger of an area to drive on some of the streets. But to have this unit is really a good deal.
I can sure see where that would be. Some of those units in Europe are designed such that they have an overhead hose that is just there all the time, and they'll just go up to garbage cans. They have a chase guy out in front of the machine, and they'll go up to public litter receptacles, and the guy just guides the hose into the litter receptacle, and they go around and empty all of those, and at the same time then sweep too.
It's really a good deal. There's a lot of flexibility with that machine.
Mm-hmm. What are other things that your company offers? Let's talk about day portering. Do you think that has grown in acceptance or want? I mean, one of the things about sweeping historically is that you're out there in the middle of the night. You never know who's going to do what at 7 o'clock in the morning. And whatever people dump out of their cars and packaging and that sort of thing always goes to the closest areas that people can park. So the earlier in the day, any debris is going to be seen by everybody coming in later in the day. And it makes sense to do more day portering. Have you seen that, the rise of that in the last decade?
You know, I have seen a little rise of that. The thing that shocked me more is asking for just day porter service. It's not a significant amount that you get a little scared that you think you're going to change a lot of your business, but we do see more of that, asking for day porter service. Sometimes I believe that, like you said, you don't know what your employees are doing at night, or if someone's throwing out trash after you left and stuff like that. And I know that there's always going to be a problem with that. Now, with our employees, we have a GPS unit that's in our trucks. And this GPS unit will not only just tell us where they are, but they have a geofence area around each property. And it tells us exactly their speed, where they're at on the property, how long they were in there, because it tells us when they come into the property and when they left that property. And it will text or email when that property was taken care of. So if there is a customer who really wants to know when you were there and how long you've been there, I can set it up that it will email that customer every day and tell them how long we're at that property, so they know that it's been taken care of.
Well, Ryan, one of the things that I think is unique about your company is that you've determined that you would like to be on call all the time and are the lead point of contact, and you run your business just with a cell phone so that people can get hold of you all the time. Talk to me, if you would. I mean, that's definitely the wave of the future, and when you go outside the United States, there are very few landlines anyway, so as far as that goes, very forward-thinking, I think, to do that, although it puts you on the hot seat all the time when the phone rings. So how has that worked for you?
It does. It puts you on the hot seat, but that's what I like, and that's what our customers really like doing with us. The thing is, in the past, I've had a phone with a recorder in the office, or in the warehouse, if you'd say, shop. And what they do is they tend to forget which one's your cell phone number and which one's your office number. And they might call your office number and leave a message. And you might not get back to it until the next night. And they're not in the office. They get in contact with them, and then they wonder why it's taking so long. So they can go in a different direction. Well, it's taking so long. We're going to call this other contractor and see what they can do for us. The reason why also we like to only do with cell phones is you can always get a hold of my partner Anthony or I. We always have our email right there in our hands too, and that's the greatest thing about new technology, is we have all of our notes, our emails. We take pictures and automatically text them or email the customer those pictures, showing that this is what the mess looked like and this is what we did. And that's why you will be seeing an extra bill, which they love. If you have a employee that goes out, or someone working for you that goes out and takes a picture, or doesn't take a picture, and cleans up, picks up a couch, or this or that, and takes it to the dump site and does it, and then tells me about it later on, it's harder to bill that customer because they didn't see the mess that was made that they cleaned up.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That is definitely the way to do customer support and notifications these days. I am, like, I would guess everybody that is listening to this would agree, I'm willing to wager, that at some point or another, they have called a company and they've gotten an answering machine and they've moved on.
Yes.
To the next company on the list. You know, we've all done it, and I think that's the danger of answering machines. I will point out that there is a potential solution that's out there electronically something that we use at World Sweeper. In fact, we have an 800 number. We don't answer it. And you say, well, why would you not answer it? Well, the reason is that my assistant, who used to be located here, is no longer here. She's across the state. Regina, and so the number now comes in because a lot of things are administrative and she can handle, and some things are just unique to me and I need to be handling it. So what we do is we let it ring, and then we each get an email that actually contains the voicemail recording of whatever was said on the phone. So within 5 minutes, less typically, we have whichever of us should respond have called the person back and are handling their situation. So that's something that works for us. It's just what an aspect of new technology can allow you to do. So,
and also the great thing is they know that they can always get a hold of Anthony or Tony, if you would like to call him Tony and I. But they do know that Tony takes care of the night routes and the night operations. And I take care of the day routes and the day operations. But they know that they can call both of us, and we both have constant meetings every other day of what's going on, so we both know where we're at with the company.
Right, and I would say, by the same token here, we provide our customers with our direct lines, too, so they know if they have any questions or concerns, they can reach us directly on the direct line. It's just not toll-free.
Exactly.
Is the only difference. One thing I wanted to bring out as well was your innovativeness in choosing your domain name. You're called Moonlight Sweeping, and when you went out to get moonlightsweeping.com, my guess is it was gone because that's a generic name and it's a big country and so forth. But your website is domain name is very descriptive, which is wesweepkc.com. Talk to me about how you came to that decision, if you would.
Well, what we did is, like you said, we were looking, we had our name first, and it was registered. And after that, then you're like, wow, how are we going to do our website? Let's look up moonlightsweeping.com. Well, moonlightsweeping.com is not there. Moonlightsweeping.net is not there because there is another sweeping company in a different state that has that. And we didn't want to be part of that. Now, we can put Moonlight Sweeping with our address and everything on it in the Google search under the WeSweepKC.com. So if someone looks for Moonlight Sweeping in Kansas, and then it will pop up WeSweepKC.com. And the other thing is that how we came up with the WeSweepKC.com is because we do sweep in Kansas City. KC is short for Kansas City. It just sounded good, and it sticks with a lot of people.
Well, it's very easy to remember. I think it was an excellent choice, and it just shows the kind of innovation you can employ on the web. You certainly don't want to be moonlightsweeping.biz or .info or one of those if you can avoid it, because the .com, of course, has the high ground on the Internet. It's not that it's bad, it's just that you don't want there to be confusion, and especially if it's somebody that's anywhere near you. But it's so easy to, because we're used to .coms, to punch in .com, and then you say, oh, there's a website, yeah, I bet that's them. Then you send them an email, and then it turns out that they're in Indiana, and you don't find out about it for 2 days, or they don't get back to you, or worse yet, you talk to them on the phone. You're in Kansas City. You need some sweeping done. The guy says, well, why are you calling me? I'm in Indiana.
Yeah.
And, no, we can't help you. And the chance that they're going to then come back to, moonlightsweeping.biz, which happens to be you guys, is remote. So I think taking something like WeSweepKC that's descriptive, on the other hand, again, for those out there listening, you want to be careful not to box yourself in too much. You know that you want to stay within the KC metro area, or if you do expand out, and of course you have Kansas City, you have two states to choose from, so you can expand into the other KC, whether Missouri or Kansas. But that's the downside or the caution I would put out is, what happens if you decide you want to move to St. Louis? You're gonna need to have a separate website domain for that, for example.
It's worked out for us. to bring up part of, there is other moonlight sweeping companies out there. A funny thing is whenever we went with Walmart to work for them, they have, most of you all know, they have a program called Service Channel that you need to be a part of or need to be registered with to work for them. And the way the Service Channel people know us is we sweep KC. They actually pay us and everything for the Moonlight Sweeping LLC. But whenever I call in and I need to talk to them about anything, I tell them, look up We Sweep KC, and that's what they have us registered under. At the very beginning, it was confusing because they're like, which Moonlight are you? Are you in Arkansas or are you out in Texas? So now they know which one we are. It's easier to just get right to it.
Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense. What do you do when somebody asks you for services you don't provide?
Well, I do have good friend relationships with companies like snow removal. That is something that constantly gets asked, and I push them in that direction. I offer them the information that I have, and then I call up that contact that I have and give them the people that were asking for it, and so on. That's what I do. I don't want to offer something. I don't want to offer every single thing. There are some companies out there. There's a couple of them that will offer the landscaping, the snow removal, the sweeping, the day porter, and the power washing, the graffiti removal, asphalt repair, striping. I can go on. And whenever they do that, we all know that there isn't that one such company that's so big that they can do it all on their own. They're going to go out and they're going to subcontract it, and then as those people might subcontract it again, and what happens is the job gets done so poorly or not on time or doesn't get done the way that it was supposed to be done, and then you're the one at the top of the chain that gets in all the trouble. We've steered away from that, and we just take care of what we've always done, and that's power washing, graffiti removal, sweeping. And part of sweeping is day porter service. I mean, that's what you do at night, too. We always run two guys per truck, or gals, and one of them's in charge of blowing off sidewalks, taking care of mulch beds and trash cans. And the other one's job is to sweep the parking lot, curb lines. We're real big about sweeping up curb lines. If it's around a bed in the parking lot, or if it's up against the sidewalks in front of the storefronts. That's what we do.
Well, and to do what you do well and competently and professionally and cost-effectively is the most important part, because you can expand your sweeping operation out as far as you want. You could expand day porter. You can expand power washing or any other service that you do. The consideration is, can you continue as you get larger to do a great job at it cost-effectively? And when you add other services, can you say the same thing about those? So,
yeah, I mean, when you add too many services at once, like I said, you could end up doing a poor job because maybe it's something that you really can't do, and you get so excited to get that bid or the contract, then you end up sitting in a pool that keeps filling up and filling up, and then you end up drowning. And that's something that we don't want to do. And it also, the customers respect you so much more if you really just tell them, listen, this is something that I would love to do for you, but at this time, we do not offer that service. You go on and you do the services that you do provide.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything we haven't covered? We've covered a lot of ground here. Is there anything else you'd like to add about your company?
The other thing I'd like to add, I mean, to talk about, has been a big thing in the last 5 years or so, is these big national contracts that some companies will get, and they end up subcontracting it out to a guy, and then another guy subcontracts out again. To bring that back up, we try to stay away from those, and we don't compete with a lot of those type bids because they pay such less to get the job done that the quality of work, and they're okay with less quality of work, really. But that quality of work that they're okay with, we're not. And we don't want any of our local customers to see they do that. you know, and kind of compare that with the rest of the stuff that we do. It's a big thing that's been coming up lately.
Well, it is, and it's destined to become more. And I'm dismayed at contractors who don't take the tack that you have. I've heard a number of, and from speaking with a number of contractors across the country, that is a problem. And some of them are really wondering, you know, how do I do this? Because I can't do it up to my standards at the price, even though the customer claims they'll be satisfied at that. I mean, how can you have people know that that's one of the places that, you sweep when you're doing it that way? There are others that are taking bids. I talked to one the other day that was part of a third-party vendor system, and that was being done by a reverse auction. So during a particular period of time, the different sweeping companies were logging on and bringing the price down until at some point somebody won it. And they said they had talked to the winning contractor, who said, you know, he kind of got caught up in the moment of it and didn't realize that they'll be sweeping, you know, substantially under their costs, and essentially they're committed to doing that. So,
well, yeah, I mean, the biggest thing, not to interrupt here,
no.
The biggest thing is whenever you do start it, they don't end up telling you that they need tons of paperwork done. They need you to send in all this paperwork so you can get paid. And then they have to send you to those stores. Basically, what you end up doing is half of their job, because they can't be in every city, and they can't be every state going to those Targets or Kohl's or anything like that and checking up on you. So they have you go in there, talk to the manager, and get paperwork signed. And then the manager is like, you sweep my parking lot? I thought you were such and such. And who do I talk to? How do I get a hold of them? And that's where it's going.
Right, so. And to take that a little bit further, you're going to probably get more complaints, because they're going to get complaints from their tenants, and the tenant, a lot of times the managers will say, well, here's the company that's doing that. Go ahead and call them directly. They know, because they know what's being paid by corporate, that there's no way that you can do a better job. But, you know, if they don't mind having you be called by some of their tenants who are complaining, that's, you know, that's fine for them. Maybe you'll do more. The other part that dismays me that I've heard from several contractors is, well, you know, what they want is a five-night sweep at $22 a sweep or $29 a sweep. Normally we would be at 50 or 65 or whatever is the competitive rate. And so we don't worry about it. We tell them, sure, we sweep five nights a week, but we only sweep three. And how they can justify that in terms of their own reputations, I have no idea.
Yeah, but, I don't know how it works out other than the fact that I hope that it changes.
Yeah.
That they don't allow a company out in North Carolina take over 20 Targets in Kansas.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right. It doesn't make sense, and we'll see how this shakes out. But for those property managers out there listening, when you get somebody coming in and saying that they can reduce your costs substantially under what current market rate is, it's a very competitive business right now, and that's not the case. If you want your property to look great and really be attractive to customers coming in, then it just takes a certain amount of time to do that, and you'll find that all the sweeping contractors in your area will be very competitive in their bidding, and there's not a lot of there's no blue sky left over, shall we say.
Yeah, and if you go in the other direction and think that you can drop your cost by using a national contract deal, you'll end up seeing that your contractors in that area, eventually they won't do it.
Right. And you have a revolving door of contractors. So, yeah, that's of course, we've written several articles on that by themselves, but it's always a good reminder, I think, to both the contracting community to not bid too low, make sure you know your prices, and if you're being asked to bid on something that's with a price that's too low, just say no. It's easier. It has one letter less than yes, so I guess that makes it easier to say. And on the other side, for property managers, you know, recognize that this is the storefront that is the first thing that everybody sees when they come. Your business is competitive as a mall, just like a sweeping contractor's business is competitive. And if you want to keep more shoppers coming in and happy to stay with your facility, you need to keep the outer part looking good, and that means the striping looking good and the seal coating looking good and the interior floors looking good. And the, one of the ways to maximize the longevity of those items and minimize the cost of replacement is with a regular air sweeping program. And don't be fooled by the folks that are out there saying, well, we can just come and bring guys and pick up the paper and so forth so it'll look good, because you're not going to get those grit off your parking lot that contributes to high wear in so many areas. It sounds to me like you have the business aspects all in place that are providing you with the growth that you're looking for. You've moved from single sweeper up to multiple sweepers. How many sweepers do you operate through the company currently?
We have three sweepers currently. We're not the huge and biggest company out there, but we are a good size that we can really take care of our customers.
I feel sure after our conversation here that that's the case, and very much appreciate your time in talking to us about Moonlight Sweeping, the one in Kansas City. Appreciate you talking about your company and how it operates and how you serve the Kansas City community. So thank you very much for that, Ryan.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoy talking about it and helping out anybody that needs help, any other areas that has any other questions.
Much obliged. We've been talking to Ryan Bertholdi, and he is the president of Moonlight Sweeping LLC. He's located in Kansas City, and they are the January 2013 featured contractor at worldsweeper.com. Thanks again, Ryan.
Thank you.